Okay, so get this right. I was reading this story and it totally changed how I see like autumn leaves.
Ooh.
Yeah, for real. It's about these two kids, Sophie and Ollie. Every year they go to the park when the leaves are all crazy colors and they have this big leaf art challenge.
I am intrigued. What are the rules?
So the catch is they can only use stuff they find in nature, like no glue, no string, just pure leaf magic.
So it really forces you to, like, think outside the box. You only have what's right there.
Exactly. And the story does a great job of showing how observant Sophie and Ollie are. Like, there's this part where Sophie's describing a maple leaf and she says it looks like a hand.
It's amazing how easily we can make those connections, right? Our brains just kind of see ourselves in nature sometimes.
It's true. And then, of course, the kids start making their art. Sophie, she goes for this classic butterfly, all reds and yellows, but then she uses acorns for the body.
Clever. Resourceful.
Oh, right. And Ollie, well, he's got to be different. So he makes this huge, I mean, huge GE lion out of leaves. He uses like the oak leaves for the mane because they were, and I quote, long and wavy.
Their attention to detail is fantastic. And, it gets you thinking on a deeper level. Doesn't every artist, in a way, work with what nature provides?
Whoa, that's deep.
Well, think about it. Even if you're, say, a painter using oils, your colors, they come from somewhere in nature originally. Your inspiration, the textures, it's all connected.
Okay, yeah, that's blowing my mind a little. And then you've got the whole science behind why leaves change color, which actually comes up in the story.
Oh, right. So Sophie asks about it, and Ollie, surprisingly, remembers the explanation from school.
Total little professor moment.
He reminds us that trees need food, just like us. They make it using sunlight. But when there's less sun, they got to prep for winter. So chlorophyll, the stuff that makes leaves green.
Starts to fade, right?
Exactly. And as it breaks down, those vibrant reds and oranges, which were always there, suddenly get their time to shine.
It's like nature's grand finale before everything goes into hibernation mode.
Precisely. But here's the thing. The story, it has this bittersweet ending. They're putting the finishing touches on their masterpieces, and then, whoosh, a gust of wind comes and scatters some of it.
Oh no, all that work.
Right. But at the same time, isn't there a certain beauty to that? This idea that nothing lasts forever, not even the most carefully crafted art.
It's like those amazing sandcastles people make at the beach, only to be washed away by the tide. But even though they're gone, the memory, the experience, that's what sticks with you.
Exactly. The impermanence makes it even more special in a way.
It really does make you think about all the different ways people have incorporated natural elements into their art throughout history.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about Tibetan monks and their sand mandalas. Those incredibly detailed, colorful designs they make, and then
They just like brush them away. I've seen photos. It's incredible.
they do. It's all part of the tradition, a powerful reminder that nothing is permanent.
Wow. See, I never knew that.
And of course, there's land art. Artists like Robert Smithson or Andy Goldsworthy, they use rocks, branches, even ice to create these large-scale installations. And the fascinating thing is, they're designed to change, to be weathered, and eventually reclaimed by nature.
That's incredible. It's like nature itself becomes part of the creative process. So, for everyone listening, next time you're out for a walk, take a moment. Really look at the leaves. Notice their shapes, the colors, the textures.
You might be surprised by what you discover.
Exactly. You could even challenge yourself. See what kind of art you can create using only those found materials. Who knows? Maybe we'll start a whole big leaf art movement.